Yeah.
Okay. It is, oh, got it. Click the got it on the screen. Okay, it is Monday, March 24th, 2025. And at 4:32 p.m. and I now call this meeting of the City of Madison Sustainable Madison Committee to order. At this moment, can I throw it to Greg for a roll call? Or ask staff for a roll call?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Let me just, for a roll call, I'll give our virtual meeting script that everybody loves. Get through quickly. Welcome to our virtual meeting. We're going to cover a few basic items before beginning. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. To members and city staff, members, if you are able, please activate your video for the purposes of quorum and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you are able, please activate your video when you are speaking. The chair and committee staff are responsible for muting and unmuting committee members. Members can rename themselves if they wish to add pronouns after your name. Use the raise hand feature when you'd like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. During any roll call, all participants will be unmuted briefly. Staff can click the raise hand. When you're asked a question, the chair will do their best to call in committee members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. Staff will tell you when your time is up. After speaking, a member of the body may ask you a question. If you need to share documentation with the board, please send it to the email listed on today's agenda. Please do not use your video. If you turn on your video, it will be shut off. Chair, the floor is yours, but sending it back for roll call.
Yes, for roll call, please.
Great. Sam Donetsky. Sam Donetsky, Heather Driscoll.
Present.
Heather Driscoll, present. Alder Conklin.
Present.
Alder Conklin is present. Christina Carvalho. Christina did let me know that they were not going to be able to make it today. Kai Brito. Kai Brito,
Here I
present.
am. Yep.
Great. Susan Millar.
Present.
Susan Millar, present. Sam Warden.
Present.
Sam Warden, present. Riley Willman.
Present.
Riley Willman, present. Alder Govindarajan.
Here.
Alder Govindarajan, present. Alder Wahili.
Present.
Wahili, present. And Kimberly Cho.
Present.
Kimberly Cho, present. Aaron Monroe Nye and Natalie Lesson Jack let me know that they are excused for today. So we have quorum, and I will give it back to you, Kai, to run the meeting.
Thank you so much. Okay, at this point, in a virtual meeting like this, it's particularly important that we carefully follow Robert's Rules of Order. Therefore, please do not speak until you have raised your hand and been recognized by the chair. The chair will ask for a motion and second for each agenda item, unless it is noticed for discussion only. Any member wishing to join the debate or move an amendment will also have to raise their hand and be recognized by the chair. Similarly, if you have some other matter to bring to the attention of the chair, such as a point of order or request for information, please use the raise hand function. At this point, we'd like to review the meeting minutes. For approval of the minutes. And then I'm guessing you're gonna pull it up, or we don't have to. You could just get approval for it.
Are there any questions on it? We've just approved them, so.
I move approval.
I'll
Okay,
second.
second.
Motion to approve made by Susan Millard. Who made the second? Or
Second.
notes?
Second.
Second by Alder Conklin, I think I heard first. Okay, at this point, we can do a or any discussion? Hearing none, if we can do a vote of unanimous approval, if no one's opposed to passing this motion, then it passes in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I don't see anyone. Okay, motion carries. We can move on to public comment. Registrar reference number 84855. for public comment. So, Greg, do we have anyone that's registered for public comment?
We do not, but let me just pull it up one last time, see if someone snuck in the last hour. Nope, no public comments.
Okay, perfect. Okay, then we'll carry on with the agenda. Disclosures and recusals. Members of the body should make any required disclosures or recusals under the city's ethics code. We don't have anything for voting today, so I don't think that'll come up, but if anyone has anything, speak now or for Heraldry Peace. Anyone? Okay, seeing none, we can move on to the discussion items portion of the agenda. Agenda item number 2, Legislature Reference Number 87599, update from Madison Parks Department on sustainability, and that is, from the Parks Department, I had it mixed up, is Chad Hughes. Chad, are you here? Yep, there's Chad here in the chat. And Chad, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. I have to share my presentation, so let me know if you can see that.
I see it. Thank you.
All right, great. You know, moving from Zoom to all these other platforms, I just when I was getting good at Teams, now I got to come back to Zoom. So I want to make sure that you all could see what I was showing you. Hey, everyone, thanks for giving me the opportunity to speak to you today. So Madison Parks has been a sustainability leader in the city, recognizing the need to adapt to changes in the climate proactively with our operations, planning, and programming. I was asked by Park Superintendent Eric Knepp to come and speak about sustainability practices and initiatives we've instituted over the last several years. During budget considerations last year, the Sustainable Madison Committee proposed some alternative cuts to the ones that Parks had proposed to several city agencies, including Parks, that would align with the sustainability plan update. Even though the referendum passed, I'd like to begin by discussing our sustainability goals and those proposals, and then talk about the other initiatives we've taken over the last few years. So our sustainability goal aligns with the Parks mission, which includes maintaining an exceptional system of natural areas, public shorelines, and preserve and expand our urban forest resources through a well-planned and systematic approach to tree maintenance, planting, and natural area management. We work to restore function and equilibrium to our local ecosystem, which in turn provides flood mitigation, protection from extreme heat, carbon sequestration, and other benefits to the public. So the first proposal by SMC last year was to reduce the frequency with which all city lawn acreage, including roadsides, is mowed. Vegetation management, including mowing, is performed by several city agencies, including Parks, Engineering, and the Streets Division. A significant portion of this mowing is on a monthly, biannual, or annual basis, such as roadsides, greenways, stormwater retention areas, and meadows. The more traditional lawn areas that contain cool season grasses like bluegrass, fescue, and rye are mowed on a 1 to 2 week rotation dependent on weather. We keep to this schedule for several reasons, including to help ensure the playability and park user safety for active recreational areas. Cool season grasses also are healthiest at a 2.5 to 3.5 inch height. And removing more than a third of the leaf at any mowing stresses the plant during high growth periods. Grass can gain even more than that in a week's time. Our machinery also struggles to get through grass much taller than 4 inches, which can add extra time to our routes and lead to clumping of the debris. The picture that you see here, this really doesn't do it justice, but this is a West Side athletic field that a few years ago, due to wet conditions in the spring, we weren't able to mow for about 10 days. Once we were able to mow it, it took a considerable amount of time to mow, and then we had to remove the grass clippings from the field, which took about 16 hours, and about 10 truckloads of grass clippings were hauled off of that field. So approximately 20 years ago, the Parks Division discontinued turf mowing at multiple sites across the city. These sites were placed on an annual mowing rotation and were referred to as no-mows within the Parks Division. Most unfortunately devolved into areas where invasive, herbaceous, and woody plants thrived. We now have a tier system for these areas, and they're referred to as managed meadows, which brings me to the next recommendation from the committee, which was incorporate prairie plants into city-owned acreage that currently is mowed and not used for public recreation. So we really appreciate the suggestion, and it actually is something we've been piloting at a few locations for the last year. It is important to note that initial establishment of these areas takes a considerable amount of time and resources. Existing turf must be killed or removed, and the areas need to be mowed several times each summer for the first 2 to 3 years to control weeds and allow native seedlings to get established. All our managed meadows are currently ranked by a tier system, with a tier one being a high quality meadow. Tier two has good plants and potential, but still needs significant resources to get it to a tier one. And a tier three has very little native plant population and has minimal management currently. Often all we do is a seasonal mowing to control the worst invasives and some woody vegetation. Once established, a high quality prairie is self-sustaining and takes less effort to manage. Tier one prairie usually requires a few well-timed site visits each year to selectively control invasive and non-native species, and a prescribed burn every 3 to 5 years to control brush and remove dead vegetation. This ensures vigorous growth of healthy native plants and allows germination and establishment of new individuals to sustain the populations indefinitely. In some locations, this work can be conducted solely by volunteers with guidance from staff. We currently have about 60 acres in Tier 1 status across the park system. We're systematically improving the quality of the 150 acres of Tier 2 prairie by collecting data, assessing and prioritizing units, intensively controlling weeds and brush, planting additional native species, and introducing prescribed fire. Our goal is to improve the acreage to tier one quality that will require just maintenance level resources. Tier three managed meadows are the legacy of abandoning weekly mowing and turf maintenance. This has resulted in areas occupied almost exclusively by non-native species, often invasive ones that threaten surrounding turf and natural areas alike, and provide very little benefit to pollinator and other wildlife. About 260 acres of non-turf grassland is tier three status. Although these areas are being managed more efficiently system-wide, they still require a higher level of monitoring and time-dependent work to achieve the goal of a diverse, sustainable, low maintenance and native habitat in place of turf. Additional volunteer staff and budget resources will be required to sufficiently monitor and maintain this acreage within the context of a fragmented urban landscape. However, the benefits are great and include increased pollinator habitat and stormwater infiltration, making our local ecosystem more resilient to climate change. Parks planning and development staff have been including naturalized areas of park planning documents, such as the park development plan for Acacia Ridge Park, which is shown here. Parks and new developments on the edges of the city would traditionally be dominated by turf, including natural areas and areas of parks not needed for recreational, reduces the amount of regular mowing and increases habitat opportunities for wildlife viewing. We recognize that pollinators are an essential component of our environment and often are keystone species to an ecosystem. Habitat loss, among other factors, have led to a steady decline in pollinator numbers over the recent past. Parks has leveraged our beautification program to increase native pollinator habitat by renovating existing landscape beds and adding pollinator gardens to the parks while managing invasive species in these areas. Native plants are used and are typically more resilient to climate fluctuations, which should allow them to outcompete native species, which will reduce required bed maintenance. On our sports fields, we're piloting a program to convert 38 parks with athletic fields to organic management. This management includes organic fertilizer as well as increasing cultural practices, including more frequent aeration, more consistent fertilizer, and beginning a top dressing plan with sand and compost. These practices will be completed on all our conventionally managed fields as well in an effort to improve turf health. Increased turf health will lead to better competition against weeds and reduce pesticide usage. In the past year alone, with starting these practices, we've reduced our pesticide usage on athletic fields by approximately 45% and look to reduce it even more in the upcoming year. A healthy, diverse urban forest supplies benefits that are both direct and indirect. A City of Madison study concluded that for every dollar spent on trees, the city receives $3.35 back in benefits. Increasing a city's tree canopy leads to increased carbon sequestration, reduced heat island effects, and increased stormwater retention. Parks are a major contributor to the urban forest, with approximately 1,200 wooded acres of mature tree canopy across the system. Parks has also planted almost 4,000 new trees across the system since 2015 in response to the emerald ash borer crisis. We've increased the diversity of tree species planted and include trees on the edge of warmer hardiness zones as average temperatures in Wisconsin have increased. These strategies will help us avoid an EAB or Dutch elm disease style collapse in the future. Trees are expensive. To ensure parks can continue to sustain this program, we installed a gravel bed for bare root trees, allowing us to purchase less expensive stock and plant them in the spring and the fall. For the future, we have worked with the City of Madison Forester on strategies for maintaining the health of large canopy trees in the parks, including turf to meadow conversion, under trees, targeted pesticide applications, and woodland management. The City of Madison has made a commitment to reduce carbon emissions by electrifying equipment, and we've been a leader in the city with our efforts. In addition to the fleet vehicles that have transitioned to electric, Parks has purchased dozens of equivalent battery-powered hand tools to offset our carbon footprint. We've also tested numerous pieces of larger electric equipment as the technology has advanced, seeking out new ways to continue this reduction further. Some of the battery-powered equipment has a significantly higher price tag than the gas-powered equivalent. We've been very deliberate about ensuring any equipment purchased will fit our maintenance needs. We've also been testing automated electric equipment. Last year, the turf at Goodman Pool was mowed by the lawn equivalent of a Roomba, and this year we plan to pilot a larger model at Warner Park. Technology for larger equipment is not quite where we need it to be for commercial use at this time. We continue to monitor market trends and identify opportunities to demo new equipment. The Golf Enterprise Program is also working to promote positive ecological outcomes at the golf courses through reducing reliance on limited natural resources and providing ecological assets. At Odana Hills, the golf program continues to support the work of a dedicated group of volunteers to maintain an extremely high-quality pollinator way station at the edge of the course. The Glen Golf Park was redesigned in 2021 to increase the amount of natural areas 1,400%. Planted native tree species, and incorporated turf grass seed mixes that can better withstand drought and take less nutrient resources. An electric greens mower has also been used at the Glen for the last three seasons as part of the project. The Yahara Hills Golf Course will be reduced from 36 holes to 18 holes by 2026, and the redesign includes the introduction of significant amounts of natural areas and opportunities for native tree planting. The golf team has also been working with the University of Wisconsin's O.J. Noor Research Station to improve agronomic practices and develop integrated pest management protocols. They're at the forefront of managing public golf courses sustainably. And with that, I am willing to take any questions that you may have.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us today and giving us all the information on parks. So yeah, we will go through all the questions. Let me just take a look over here. And a first one, go figure, it's Susan's got a question for you.
I thought that was a fabulous presentation. There's so much progress that you all have made. It's very, very encouraging. I have just one quick question. When you were talking about the tier three acreage, and the need for more volunteers. How are you getting those volunteers? How can we help you with that?
Great question. And we We actually just it's been here about a year. We have a volunteer coordinator, which Parks did not have up until a year, year and a half ago. So John Weichelt, our volunteer coordinator, is a dedicated, energetic, great resource for us, and he has been working diligently to communicate with all our volunteers. And if there's someone that wants to volunteer but doesn't necessarily know how to, he would be the person to get a hold of, and he can usually direct you in a way that can not only help the parks, but hopefully direct you to something that interests you as well.
Could you spell his last name, please?
I'll try. W-E-I Chelt, and I can send his contact information to Greg after
That
this,
would be great. Thank
and
you.
he can forward it on.
Okay. Thank you so much. We're making some connections here, some community sustainability. Okay. Does anyone else have a question for Chad here? I see a question from Alder Conklin.
Thank you, Chair. I wouldn't say it's a question. I was just gonna actually just reiterate that you did a really good job filling us in, and I appreciate the hard work that you guys put into the presentation. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Alder Conklin. Appreciate it.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, we do welcome those comments too. I did have one question. It was slide number three. It said reduce the frequency with which all city lawn acreage, including roadside, is mowed. What impact does that have for the city? I know you mentioned how, it was good for, like preventing clumps and just like not getting people out there. What I guess I'm more curious about is like, what's the financial impact? And like also like vehicle miles traveled. Like, are we looking at metrics like those? Because I feel like if you look at it in terms of that, maybe we're making like a big impact just by reducing the schedule. What does that look like?
It's so I don't know if we base our mowing schedules like it, they are based on a weekly or a regular schedule. We do adjust them depending on weather conditions, but what we found is that if we were to go rather than a 1 week or a 2 week or from a 1 week to a 2 week schedule, it's not apples for apples at that point in time spent and resources spent. It takes it, because it's harder to get through grass that's longer, it's a wear and tear on our machines. It's time, like I'll get into the weeds a little bit here on mowing. We
Is it a
have these
fun?
large, a little bit of a fun. Well, not meant to be. We have these large area mowers. They have a 16 foot wide cutting capacity. They are powered. They are hydro driven, and that powers not only the wheels on the mower, but it also powers the blades. And if the when you're cutting, if you get to really thick or really wet grass, and you're struggling to get through it, more power the mowers will shift power from the wheels to the blades. I've seen these mowers that are cutting really thick, heavy grass because they're behind or because it's just a spring growth. They'll literally come to a stop because there's not enough power for the blades to actually cut through the grass. So it slows it down enough where we just can't even keep up, and it just becomes a cascading effect after a while where we get behind because we've tried to extend our mowing schedule. and we get more and more behind. We kind of saw this. We've seen this before in with the influx of the spring growth, where we've actually had to work overtime just to keep up with that initial growth. So I don't know if I'm really answering your question. I'm trying to point out why it seems like, hey, just mow less makes sense, but from a practical standpoint, we just don't have the ability to do that with the machinery that we have and maintaining the standards that we want to maintain.
No, yeah, I just curious if there's like some like a sweet spot, because it sounds like you're doing a little less, but then I don't know, just figuring out like how much less you can get away with before it starts having an impact. So I don't know, I'm sure there's some cost benefit curve out there that says where you want to be, but sounds like you're doing pretty good now. I don't hear any complaints, and it sounds like what you presented was good, so thank you.
Well,
That's all I
thanks.
got for you.
We still hear some complaints, but we're
Well,
managing
not
those,
for
so.
me. I didn't call in. So,
All
yeah, no.
right.
Anyone else got any questions for Mr. Hughes? Well, if not, well, then that was Chad Hughes. He's the Park Operations Manager for the City of Madison. He supervises and maintains all parks, so greenways, parkways, athletic field maintenance, and obviously parks and facilities as well. So thank you very much for coming today, and we really appreciated learning about what you do.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone.
Okay. Well, it looks like we can move on to the next item on our agenda. We already see her here. So agenda item number three, Legistar reference number 87600, update from Dane County on their sustainability efforts. It'll come from the one, the only, she's setting up now, but it is Kathy Koontz from the Dane County Office of Energy and Climate Change. Thank you so much for coming today. We always appreciate having you here.
Thanks so much, Kai. It's a pleasure to be here. And so my aim tonight is to just give the committee a little bit of a sense of where things are at with climate efforts at Dane County, just because it's good for us to keep, we at a staff level chat all the time about these things, but we thought it was good to give you an update too. So the first thing I will share is just this one. We're trying really hard to have like a one-page strategic plan. And so you see here we have goals relative to internal county operations and countywide emissions, and then that the four big strategies that we use to get things done. And we'll talk about all of that a little bit more. I'll start by talking about our internal goals. So our first big internal goal was to have all of our electricity in county operations be 100% renewable offset. We wanted to do that by 2025. We actually achieved that early in the summer of 23. We're in the process right now of confirming that 2024, we were 100% all year long. So that's exciting. We watch for more on that. Our next internal goal is that we are carbon neutral across our facilities, fleet, and land operations. All of those words are super deliberate. Essentially, we're reducing our emissions in our buildings and our fleet while we quantify and increase the amount of natural sequestration offsets we're getting from county initiatives to sequester carbon in the ground. So think when the county helped Pheasant Branch purchase an addition to the Pheasant Branch Conservancy and we turned farmland back into prairie, that's increasing the carbon sequestration there. So I have for you this fun graphic of this. So these gray bars represent the total emissions from our facilities and fleet, kind of 2020 up to 2030 here. And so you see this big kind of jump between 2022 and 2024. This is when our Yahara Solar came online and we were 100% renewable on the electric side. Our electric grid in Wisconsin is still relatively dirty, so we got a big bump from that. And then this green bar here is the natural sequestration. So for the first time in 2024, our land and water folks quantified the sequestration that's happening. This is carbon stored in plants and soil where we're making that happen either through an incentive program like continuous cover or on our own property. And so essentially, our quest here is that by 2030, we drive down the remaining emissions while we increase the amount of sequestration happening. And that's how we get to that carbon neutrality by 2030 in our operations. The other thing I'll say about that is everybody can't do this. We're lucky in Dane County. We have a lot of natural land that we're able to increase the sequestration on. Okay, so that was our internal operations. Countywide, our big countywide goal is that, we started our climate action plan looking at 2017 emissions. We want to cut those 2017 emissions in half by 2030, despite our growing population, and then be carbon neutral by 2050. And last year, we updated our inventory and modeling. And so that's really what I'm going to show you kind of where we're at with this. So 2017, our baseline, we had 9.7 million metric tons of carbon dioxide equivalents that we produced all across Dane County, all of us, our homes, our businesses, our local governments. By 2022, that was 9.4 million metric tons. So it's going in the right direction. It's a 3% reduction. That 3% reduction happened while our population countywide went up 7%. So if we look at this on a per capita basis, which is a useful way to look at things when your population is changing dramatically, our emissions went down 9% over that period. Okay, so headed in the right direction. When we look at that 2022 emissions, there are three big things that dominate the emissions. First, the emissions associated with our electricity. As I said, the electricity in Wisconsin is still relatively dirty. So that's a big piece. Definitely, our utilities have plans to make that greener. The yellow piece here, I really should fix this label. That's natural gas and other building fuels. That's mostly natural gas, a little propane, and then transportation. So those three things, our electric grid, the gas in our buildings, and transportation are 90% of our emissions. When we talk about cutting our emissions in half, we're ruthlessly focused on those three things. Okay, everything else is really small and not going to help us cut things in half at this point. So we're really trying to focus that that's where we need to have our attention. The other thing I will share with you, so because we did this update to the inventory, we were able to project out emissions to 2030, looking at the things that are already going on. And a good example here, so the orange section that you see this big drop in, that's because our utilities have commitments to dramatically clean the grid. If they do that, they get us part of the way to our 50% goal. Right now, we have reductions that would take us to cut absolute emissions about 40%. So we're part of the way to our 50% cut, but we're not all the way there yet with what we modeled, which actually I found pretty encouraging that we were that far along. So what that means, though, is we have to really focus on these three sectors. So on buildings, and we're talking about homes and businesses, new construction, existing construction, this is all about energy efficiency, electrification, on-site renewables in those buildings. On the transportation side, we need more transit, biking, walking, and the vehicles that are left on the road, we need them to be using electricity, compressed natural gas, biodiesel, things that use that have less emissions. And then, of course, the energy grid, we want both utility scale renewables and individual scale renewables. I want to note a couple of things here, because especially relevant to your work on the committee, there are some significant things happening in our emissions inventory that are about Madison. The first is the BESP, so the Buildings Energy Savings Program, which is doing benchmarking and tune-ups. We were able to include some of that in the modeling. It's part of what gets us the reductions we see in natural gas. And as the county, I am super interested in other local governments following your lead on this. And there's some talk out there. There are folks who are saying, oh, we're really intrigued by how smoothly this is going for Madison. We'd like to join in. That's a really important place for you as Madison to be setting a precedent that the other folks can follow. So BESP is awesome. It's in the numbers. I think you chose to do a benchmarking and a tune-up, and in the modeling, I could easily model what a benchmarking did. So I think we may see bigger results from BESP once we start seeing that in the data than we're seeing so far in the model, just because you did more than they could easily model. The other thing that's really has potential to be significant is the bus rapid transit, the BRT, which, you know, we're starting to hear is increasing bus ridership, plus those are electric buses. That is not yet built into the model. When we were modeling, that was like too new on the scene to model very accurately, but I think the next time we look at this, we'll be able to include that. So exciting stuff that you all are making happen here. I want to kind of close with a couple of comments about just, you know, so we're the county. We do not have jurisdiction inside cities and villages, and towns have sort of a choice about whether we help them or not. And so we really do think at our office about what are the carrots we can offer to bring people along to the action we want. You know, we don't have any sticks in our toolbox. We just have a lot of delicious carrots. We lead by example. We try to reduce barriers. We try to celebrate leadership so it's contagious, and really to partner with everyone. I would not be doing my job if I did not at this point give an example that one of the ways we celebrate leadership is the Climate Champions Program. In mid-April, we will open the Climate Champions Program for 2025. And it seems to me that with all of those electric tools, the City of Madison Parks could maybe be the first municipal parks group to like become a climate champion for all the cool things they're doing, just to plant that seed there. We have, you know, a really robust, the aim here is to just celebrate the folks who are doing good things so that more folks do good things. I think I pulled this slide together. I don't remember what for now, but I like showing it, and it seems like a thing that this committee should see too. You know, Dane County is a kind of amazing place when it comes to climate action. There is more rooftop solar here than anywhere else in the state. There are more EVs per capita. In fact, in total, Dane County is about 10% of the state's population, and we have about 25% of the EVs. So we tend to be this market of early adopters who are doing the cool things faster than, you know, all the cool kids live here. We have a growing heat pump market. Epic has the largest geothermal campus in the U.S. And we've got a ton of things that local governments did first here in Dane County, from little governments doing things like net zero energy buildings to Madison's leadership on clean fuel vehicles. You know, there's just a lot of really cool things going on across the county. And I think it's important for us to take a minute now and then to celebrate that, oh yeah, there's all this really good stuff going on, especially in these moments where we're hearing kind of not always encouraging news from other levels of government. And with that, I'm going to stop sharing and see if you have questions for me.
Well, first of all, thank you very much, Kathy, always giving us the lowdown on what's going on at the entire county. And I really like the picture with all the different local climate champions. I think that was a really good program idea to get people involved in it. So that's good. Do you have any questions from our team? I do see Sam. Yep, Sam, your hand's up. So go for it.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Kathy. This is great. You mentioned some things aren't incorporated in the model, like BRT. You're hoping to include that. Are you hoping to update the model every year, every 2 years as we're getting closer to this goal? Just kind of what's your timeline of kind of updating things like that?
Yeah, it's a really great question, Sam. Thanks. Both the city of Madison and the county use a tool from ICLEI to do our climate modeling, and it's the tool that most local governments use. And the modeling that is available through it is, truth be told, a little clunky. They are in the process, though, of rolling out a new version of the modeling right now that we're really hopeful is going to let us do more real-time kind of updates, and even potentially, it looks like it's going to have a way to have a dashboard so that folks can, so it's not just, oh, you can go to our website and see these flat graphics, but you could maybe poke at them a little bit and interact with them. And so I am hopeful that we haven't really seen this 2.0 modeling in action yet. We'll see that in they're telling me the next couple of weeks. Been sort of pushing back the deadline a little bit, but they're holding firm on these dates now. So I am hopeful then that I think we're probably at least every like 2 to 3 years we need to update this, you know? And I think now that we've done it once and we've sort of done it all using the ICLEI tool ourselves, it's not quite so hard to update it. Maybe the other thing I should say there, just because you're the sustainability committee, you know, you're kind of in the weeds about this, is one of the things that we noticed in the countywide data is that the one trend that seems to be going in a concerning way is the amount of natural gas being used countywide seems to be growing faster than our population. And from 1 year, we just can't tell if that's an anomaly or if there's something like really concerning going on there. So we are collecting data for 23 and 24 from the utilities just to figure out that one. And, you know, that might help us do some more frequent things there.
Any questions from anyone else? I have a question. This intersects with something going on at Madison College, which you may or may not be aware of. I don't know. I feel like you probably do know because, your position. So one of the things that we got a grant for was a solar battery project. And I wonder what, how possible that would be to implement at other areas, with that type of, energy storage. Do you envision this being a model for other campuses or buildings to try and take on?
Yeah, so we have a couple of solar batteries so far across Dane County. Forest Edge Elementary has battery backup for their solar array, and I want to say the Sun Prairie Library has batteries in their plan for, I'm pretty sure it's for that, because their library, they are thinking about that as a resilience center issue, that by having batteries, they'll also be able to be a community resilience center. And other folks are talking about it. Some folks wanted to do it and they just haven't been able to get a grant or something to cover it. I think we're going to see a bunch more of it, and it makes For an entity like Madison College, it makes your solar arrays more valuable because you can stretch out the time you use that solar power to a longer time frame. It seems like we're just on the verge of the solar battery, solars with battery kind of exploding. I think in the next 5-ish years, we're going to see a lot more applications of that sort of help us get past the hump. Folks may or may not know that the highest electric consumption of the day, you know, the utilities have to build a system that gives us power when most people are trying to use power. And that time has been moving later. And so when I was first in energy efficiency 30 years ago, like peak was like at 1 p.m. It was like when the sun was really high and it was hot in the summer. But now it's closer to 4 p.m. because it's when our home air conditioners are starting to turn on in anticipation of us coming home, and our office air conditioners are still on. You know, there's this con and the solar batteries could really help with some of that lumpiness.
Okay, yeah, so it sounds like there's, in a few years' time, it sounds like that we can add that to our like a menu or our options of I don't know, renewable energy sources. So that sounds good on a larger scale, not that they don't exist now, but
It's important that entities like Madison College do this first because we're all going to be able to learn from all of the student learning that happens there. You know, that's like an advantageous place to learn.
yeah, definitely, definitely in agreement there. Okay, next person, Susan, it's got your hand up.
Thank you. Thanks, Kathy. Quite early in your presentation, you were showing stacks. And the brown stack and the blue green stack were, I think it had to do with sequestering carbon on
Yeah,
various types.
it's
I was curious.
drying, yeah, it's reducing our the emissions we emit from our buildings and fleet to be equal to the amount on an annual basis that we're sequestering in the ground. So we're getting to a version of carbon neutral there.
So my question is, how much of that land, if you can speak to this, is owned and managed by farmers versus is in some form or other public land? Or I mean, who owns and manages that land? I'm very interested in the way, in particular, agricultural folks are and are not engaged in this process.
So I want to say most of it at this point is county land versus agricultural land, partly because we just have transitioned to in our continuous cover program, making it really clear with farmers that we're going to track and take credit for the sequestration that we pay them to do. So that's a relatively new piece there. What I can tell you here, Susan, is that our land and water resources folks are working on publishing a page where they're going to show you how they're getting that number. That part of what we're trying to do is get to a place where, in the same way that our office will show, you know, where that energy consumption is happening across county departments, they're going to be able to show where they're getting that sequestration to happen. But I don't
Okay.
have all the details from them yet, but that's so it's coming soon.
Thank you.
Do we have any other questions for Kathy? Okay, yep, I see a hand up from Heather.
Yeah, I was wondering, thank you, Kathy. This is really inspiring. I appreciate all of your great work. And I just wanted to ask about, I know Silverwood County Park, which is a Dane County park, has like an agroforestry partnership. And I was wondering, do you know if that's something that's been considered for more county land and parks for incorporating more agroforestry to help with the carbon sequestration?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that now that we're doing this math, our parks folks are really looking at a lot of things and going, okay, how could we increase that sequestration and what else could we be doing? And we have some, as an example, there are some, we have some county land that we currently lease to farmers. Do we want to turn that back to forest or prairie, because we always intended to do that, but there's a little bit more incentive now to, help with the math kind of thing. So yes, the answer is I think all those options are on the table for us.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Okay. Do we have any other questions for Kathy? Not seeing any here, so that just means that we've learned a lot from you and we really value it and appreciate it. And we
Thanks so
welcome you
much.
back for the next time when you have a lot more updates. Okay, thank you so much. We can move on with our agenda. This will be item number 4 on the agenda. Legistar reference number 87601, getting to know Sustainable Madison Committee members. So this is something that me and Susan and Greg talked about, and just a way to, get people more engaged with their voice and just like, to get to know each other better and talk and share your ideas. So we wanted to just pose a quick little question. We'll go around, just make it something that we can all talk. And the question for today is, we're getting, it's officially spring now. So like, what is it you're looking forward to this spring, like doing outdoors now that we're not really in this winter weather, although today I'd argue is kind of cold. But we're getting back to the point where we can go outside. I'm looking forward to jumping in the lake. Not today, that's a summer activity, but that's the kind of thing I am wanting to do when it gets a lot warmer outside. But for now, as an example, I'll just say that I'm looking forward to going on a bike ride. I want to ride that lake loop because I do that a lot in the summer. So I'm looking forward to my first lake loop ride. Who wants to go next? Well, I can just call people now this morning. I don't know. So, Heather, since you just spoke, maybe. Oh, I see Sam first. So we'll go Sam and then Heather after, I guess. So, Sam, go for it.
Yeah, no, I like this idea. First thing that came to mind is I live right off of John Nolan, and I like to walk over to the pickleball courts, pickleball slash tennis courts that are right off the John Nolan right there, and play with my partner or my friends. So looking forward to do that when the weather gets nice again.
Oh yeah, it's so great. I play over at Tenney Park. Maybe we can play sometime. So
Yes.
we'll go Heather and then Alder Wahili after. So Heather, go for it.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to. I have these foldable kayaks, and I'm excited to get out on the lake soon when the weather's warmer, and get out paddling again. Yeah, and I see Nazra had her hand, or Alder Wahili.
Yeah, Alder Wahili, go for it.
Thank you, Heather. Thank you, Kai. Warm day, just going for a walk, I guess, and cleaning my backyard.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have okay, it's not leaves raking, it's just we're gonna be mowing lawns just like Parks did. So yeah, we were previewing you for that.
Well,
I
I
see
have
you.
on the spot. I just want to let the committee know this will be my last meeting for the sustainability meeting. So I just want to make that note.
Oh, we have like literally there is an entire section dedicated to you and the other
Oh.
alders as well, but we will come back to that. Don't
All
you
right, thank
worry.
you.
So we made note of that. So thank you for that, and we'll come back to it. Susan, do you want to go?
Gardening. Gardening, get my hands in the soil, watch little things spring up. That's what I want to do, among other things, but definitely gardening.
And then you get to eat the food that you garden. That's fun stuff. Okay, who else wants to go? I can call people. I see
Yeah.
Riley doesn't have mic on, so you're next.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, I would say kind of similar to Susan, getting out and landscaping. My husband and I just bought a house on the east side, and so we are looking to kind of do an overhaul of the backyard. So should be nice to get out there.
Nice. Everyone's got some little outdoor activities, so you and your partner can do that. You and him, yeah, just making everyone's got like a outdoors type thing going on, so that's good. Okay, who's next? Who do I see on here? Kimberly, you want to go?
I would love to. I think I'm just like in the house, I'm looking forward to just like having all the windows open and letting like nice breeze come through. And I'm not looking forward to cleaning up what I didn't with the garden last year, but I'm looking forward to then the, you know, the next stage after that and, you know, walks and just being outdoors.
Nice, nice. We've got a lot of green thumbs here. Greg, you're next on my queue of people, I guess.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. This is fun. I know we kind of wanted to do this just both to get to know people better, but also just to break up. We do a lot of presentations here, so it's nice to, you know, get some, break it up just a little bit quickly. Both mine were taken. I'm really excited to open the windows. I love, you know, being able to just enjoy the weather like that. And then I do go on some long walks, put a podcast on. It's kind of a nice Sunday afternoon activity. And I, you know, you can do it in the winter, but it's much more enjoyable in the spring.
100 P, you want to feel that sunlight on your skin. I get that. Okay, so I see the alders all clumped up at the end. I don't know how that how that happens, but Alder Conklin, I see you next on my list, at least on my screen. You got something looking forward to for the outdoors? Maybe she stepped away. We can move forward. Alder Govindarajan, MGR, you got something for us?
Not too much, thank you. Definitely have the windows open, let the breeze in, like Kimberly said. I recently just bought two plants, like a heartleaf plant and a snake plant. I'm positive the snake plant will survive, but I'm excited to learn more about how to just take care of plants in my apartment and just enjoy the outdoors and warmer weather.
I think you can get one of those purple lights. I don't know how well they work, but I see lots of people have them. So maybe that'll help.
Good to know. Thank you.
Yeah. Grow lights. Okay. I see a couple of other people on here. Are these people members of our committee? No, I was going to say, yeah, I wasn't aware of them. So if you have Alder Conklin, yeah, perfect. You got something, outdoor activity you want to share with us?
Yes. Thank you so much. I'm sorry. Getting all these buttons figured out. Something forward that I look to is my daughter is going to be starting t-ball this summer, so I cannot wait to be at Elver Park helping little five-year-olds try to figure out how to play baseball and stay on the base and throw the ball and not hurt each other. So I can't wait for that starting in May.
Those are like big moments in our lives, so I'm sure that everyone can remember the first time. Maybe that they work together on something. So yeah, that's a big one. So yeah, enjoy, definitely.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, now we know a little bit more about each other. So that was kind of the idea. So you know, Susan, you'll get the next one, and maybe you can talk about the idea that you had from last time. But yeah, okay. For now, we got through it and we can move forward to item number 5. Legislator number 87602, Sustainable Madison Committee Working Group Updates. So that comes from Greg. Are you taking over that or is that Susan?
Yeah, so Susan, our tag teaming, I suppose. You got Susan going before?
We can tag team, right. I'd like to start by saying Greg is doing a fantastic job. Oh. He has put together the great implementation spreadsheet. Yay. And he's on pace to meet with all the relevant department heads that have sustainability goals. And he's got meetings scheduled with them. And each of these departments have been asked to identify kind of climate champions. So that's going forward. And they are going to be getting together for an in-person meeting in July. And I think this is really excellent. It means there is action. And I want to really recognize and thank Greg for doing that. And I also want to really thank Kimberly and a former member of our team, the Sustainable Madison Committee, rather, John. John, what's his last name? Uguer. Sorry. I'm thinking of the spelling and then I'm having trouble remembering how to pronounce it. who are both still very active. I'd love to hear from Kimberly too, if you have any comments that you'd like to make about our last meeting, Kimberly. Well, I mean, I kind of put you on the spot. Yeah.
No, I mean, it's I same that just hearing from Greg and just all the collaboration and connection and just all the work that's going into like connecting with every department and it's really amazing to hear. And I know it's just a lot of work to coordinate all of that. So, and yeah, just continuing to talk about more ideas. So it's been great.
I also want to recognize, thank you. I want to recognize my Alder Wahili. I know this is her last meeting with us, and she has been an active member of the Accountability Working Group, coming up with some important ideas about, along with John, figuring out processes for helping establish the same kind of lens, like the one that the Alders and staff use for fiscal things, for climate and equity issues, so that as people, as members of the staff and the elected representatives in our city, look at issues that emerge, that climate lens, sustainability lens is present, as well as the equity lens and also the fiscal lens, because it really matters if you're thinking about that stuff. And I'm going to be quiet now so that Alder Wahili can speak.
Thank you, Susan. I'm sorry I missed the last meeting, but you're right. One of the things that we really want to look into, I really care about the sustainability matters and how we can move forward having intentional. I believe in more proactive way of doing things rather than being reactive. And one of the things that we brought out and talked about with the work group is with any legislation that comes to the council, we look into the fiscal note. And what we talked about with the subgroup is to having a sustainability note where if there's a big development happening or other things that's happening, making sure that we have a sustainability note or environmental note. Susan and I talked about it, and we talked briefly with the mayor. And I think there was a little bit pushback in terms of not having the staff or the capacity to do now, but in the future something that we can really push forward to having. It doesn't take a lot of time, but I think if we really do proactively measures, I think we can go so far. So that's one thing that I was really passionate about with the group, but hopefully we can continue championing those kind of initiatives that we have more proactive lens, whether it's equity note, whether it's the fiscal note, but also environmental note, how it's going to have impact in the water or the development or and all that. So yeah, thank you, Susan, for bringing that about.
And Greg, I'm wondering if you would say something about onboarding for new alders. I think we talked about that too.
Yeah, and I think it's one of the things I'd like to shout out from this working group is that bringing in new ideas and kind of for things we just hadn't thought of. So there's now alder onboarding. So Jessica and I are Jessica specifically is recording a video. We're working together to record a video and. On Wednesday, we're going to be doing it to get it into the orientation for all new alders, just to explain what sustainability is, what are our major initiatives, and kind of what's the ongoing work. And so that was something we hadn't really thought of. We're part of the mayor's office, and that gets kind of incorporated into the mayor's office presentation, but maybe fighting to kind of get sustainability to have its own video as a and as members of the new alder orientation. So yeah, we have some proactive steps there too. So yeah, and I'm grateful for all this too. It's a lot of thank you for the kind words, Susan. It has been a lot of organizing meetings, but we had 24 different goals, and so finding the champions within each of these departments, as we have scheduled 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 meetings, 15 meetings, and then we had to and have identified champions. So we've tied each goal to a department. And then, within that department, those heads are aware of our initiatives and have recognized a champion. And so we're going to meet with them in the next couple of months to, help have a specific person who's tied to our action and our goal and to help move it forward. And so we're really excited to kind of start socializing that and getting things going and then getting all these people together because there's a lot of great lessons learned that, the city can be siloed at times. And so, finding out, having folks in Fleet who are really out there leading share kind of, how they were able to change paradigms and make, become a champion themselves. So anyway, lots of exciting stuff happening, and we'll certainly have more to report in the next few months.
Thank you. And I just want to close the few statements you were just making, Greg. Leadership really matters at all different levels. And I really, really thank you for identifying that. And for that matter, I really also want to just say I'm really recognizing Alder Conklin and Alder Wahili and Alder Govindarajan for your leadership. And I know we're going to lose at least lose one of you, and hopefully not the others. It was Alder Wahili is choosing to leave, and we want to keep Alder Govindarajan and Alder Conklin. Thanks.
That's a
Next
good
time, we
transition.
meet, the election will be over. Oh my gosh.
That's true. A good as time as any to transition to item number six, legislator number 87603, recognition of end of Alder terms. Susan kind of already kicked it off, but Greg, did you have anything to add to the statement?
Sure. Yeah, I think this is the pace at which these meetings happen. The election will have happened, and we'll have, gone through that whole process. And so, I actually started in May of 2023. So this is my first election, and this is the crew we've been running with. And it's just wanted to give a shout out to all the hard work you've done and the support you've given to us. The sustainability staff feels very supported. We're very grateful for the getting to collaborate with you all, and then the leadership from our alders. We passed the sustainability plan during this. We've done the Building Energy Savings Program is launched. Greenhouse gas inventory, all this grant works. A lot of really amazing stuff has happened in this last 2-year term, and it's not possible. Like, or it's it having great leaders at our alder level is we're very grateful for it, and it's we're lucky. And so thank you for that. Just wanted to make sure we give you your shout out.
Definitely. The things I want to say. So I have some individual things to say. Alder Conklin was actually the person that suggested to me that maybe I could actually take on the responsibilities of chair. And I actually didn't think I could do it. I thought that like, oh, well, shouldn't someone with more experience do it? Shouldn't someone that's a little bit more seasoned with ex seasoned in their job role and education level do it? Like, doesn't that make way more sense to do that? And Alder Conklin told me like, nah, you gotta start somewhere, and this is where you're starting today, so I'm nominating you to take charge. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I didn't expect that far, but you know what, I went with it, and I think it's been definitely a learning experience for me, so I'm really glad that you suggested that for me. And yeah, I think I have learned a lot, and I'm taking some of those ideas to me with school, because I'm about to graduate now. So I think that really helped me figure out how to make environmental change, or just change in general, happen at school. So I think that made a really big difference for me, just having someone say, no, I think you can do it. And yeah, no, I'm doing it now. So not the best in all areas, but we're definitely doing something. So thank you so much. MGR, one of the coolest. Thank you. You gonna say something, or?
I just wanted to thank the Alder Conklin for encouraging Kai. He's just the best. So thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you so much. MGR, one of the coolest students I know. Whenever we're gonna turn up for like a protest on the UW campus, I always see him there. I don't know if every single one, I don't get to talk to him all the time, but I definitely see him out in the crowd, and he always shows up for his community, and everyone knows him. Everyone's got stories and great things to say about him. So the few times I do get to see him and say hello, he always got some update on how he's looking forward to helping his community in the place where he lives. So I've really respected that. And for a person so young, like a leader, looking forward to that, you make me look up to you. So I really appreciate that. And you're just seeing you show up, because that's a big value to add for a lot of people. And not everyone can do that, but the fact that you are, people see that, and that's why we got you here. So I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Kai. Hope you guys don't mind me speaking out of turn, I guess, but I really have appreciated working with all of you, and hopefully I get to continue for one more year. I mean, I'll be coming back, and I would really like to continue serving on this committee, but this is such a unique committee. It was the first committee meeting I got to join when I became an elder. And to my surprise, I wasn't the youngest person because Xanthi was here. And that always through I remember that initial feeling of like, oh my goodness, I'm completely thrown out for a loop over here. And it was a great feeling. This has been one of my favorite committees. And getting to know all of you has been amazing. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And we had to save it, last but definitely not least. We saved Alder Wehili for the end, strategically for that. I haven't gotten to meet you in person yet, I don't believe, but I do know that whenever you show up to the meetings, you always come very prepared. I know you've read the materials and the PowerPoints beforehand, and you always ask very thoughtful detailed questions about what's going on. So I know sometimes you have those little side conversations with the reviewers because you're trying to relate it back to things that are happening with the city. So I know you take your job very seriously. And yeah, no, I just really appreciated the level of like care and clearly dedication that you have for the job. So while it might be your last day, I think that the things that you've brought to this committee, like they definitely won't be forgotten. And yeah, that's what I got to say. So I wish I met you in person. That's the my only regret. Alder Healy, you got something to say? Oh, I think you're muted.
I think I'm muted. No, thank you, Kai. It has been an honor, working with you and all the committee. Greg, Susan, you have been an inspiration to me. Your leadership, Susan talked about leadership. Leadership is influence. And you guys have influenced me. I loved this committee, and that's why I take time to see the meeting minutes and, review it and learn more because it's some of the committee that I have never been part of it. But I think now, with Susan, it's just, I think even within my own life, I changed because of this committee, how I see environmental justice and all that. So I'm really grateful. Sometimes, the committee change you and sometimes you change the committee, but I think it was both ways. And I'm really grateful and honored to be serving in this committee. I know when the mayor appointed me, I tried to get out of it, but I'm glad I didn't get out of it. So it's really honor and privilege to be in this committee. And I hope, I can ask the mayor to put me into resident committee, special this committee. So I truly enjoy it and truly, appreciate the committees, the work that we have done and the work that needs to be done in the future. So I am forever grateful. So again, thank you. And I want to thank my colleagues, Alder Governor Rajan and Alder Conklin to be working side by side with this committee. So I appreciate you all. Thank you.
And with that, I think that's everyone. Although I do see someone came on. Greg, are they here for a speak? Yeah, hand up. I see. So are they allowed to?
Hi everyone. Sorry, I just didn't want to feel like I jumped into your meeting and escaped. So I just thought I should say hi because it's a very small group. I'm curious about the committee. How? Because I just learned about City of Madison town hall meetings, and I saw this Sustainable Madison Committee, and I'm curious about everything sustainability. So I just want to know, like, how often do you have your meetings? If you don't mind, others, someone like me keep joining and just learning about it. I would just be grateful to learn more about your committee.
Yeah, I think Alder Wahili has got some answers for you. I saw that hand jump up quick. Oh no, that wasn't from board. Okay, yeah. Well, maybe Greg, as the staff member, you're the staff assigned to it. I feel like maybe you got the best answer for this.
I may say something though. I don't know if
Oh.
if Linda has joined the committee before because I think we have Robert rules that it has to go through the BCC committees, and then maybe you can connect her to Layla that can talk about more. But Greg, feel free to answer some of the questions, but I think the main thing is for committees, it has to go through the BCCs.
Yeah, and kind of that there is a whole process here. Thank you for joining us. I'm happy to get connected and share more information. I think maybe it might be best to adjourn the meeting, and we can all right, so I can end the recording and we can chat. We can stay on and chat once the recording is done and the meeting is adjourned, and be happy to stick around and provide a lot of insight to this. Thank you for your interest.
Okay, well, with that, so what another thing I learned from Alder Conklin is that, as a non-consent agenda, we do have adjournment is still one of those things that we do need a motion for. So we got through all of our items on agenda. Do I see a motion to adjourn?
I will make the motion to adjourn, but I do want to thank everybody at the committee. You guys have been wonderful, my colleagues. I hope to continue to stay on this committee too. This was my first committee I got in 2021. So it's been an honor to serve. We've been doing amazing work. We got a great team, so I'm thankful for everybody. So motion to adjourn.
That was definitely definitely had a lot of oomph to it, so I appreciate. Do we have a second for Alder Conklin?
Second. Second.
Second from Alder Wahili. Thank you so much. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none. If there's a vote of unanimous approval, if there's no opposition, then this motion carries in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, motion carries. This meeting is adjourned at 5:48 p.m. Thank you very much, everyone. And then Linda.